The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. We have a new website, a new community. Please come join and interact with the fellow peer IT leaders. Now, today's topic is Politics in IT Organizations, the Silent Killer. And our guests for today's show are Ati Riazi, who's the Chief Information Officer for New York City Housing Authority. Good morning, Ati.
Good morning, Sanjo. It's a pleasure joining the show.
Beautiful. So how's weather up there in New York?
Rainy, a bit cold, and the fall is coming. The trees are already turning brown.
Great. And we have Mark Stone, who's the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer with Safety Clean. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Sanjo.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well this morning.
Great. So how's the political weather?
The political weather here at the Safety Clean or in the company as a whole?
I'm talking about company. I'm talking about your region. I'm talking about national. I'm talking international. How is that going?
It is, as always in politics, there are those that are on both sides of the fence, and they like to make each other not particularly look friendly to each other.
So what you just said is got a little bit of a negative angle to it, and we know this topic has been specifically picked up because that could very well become the very reason why a company may not succeed in spite of the very best leadership or in spite of the very good strategy. So we call politics as the game that needs to be played or that has to be played. Now, is that supposed to be an inevitable evil or you can get rid of it? That's number one question. And Ati, we will start with you. And what about where IT people, and especially in IT organization where they don't even have the time to breathe, do they really have the time to play politics?
Those are two great and very complex questions. So let me see if I can take the first one. My perspective, being a CIO and being in the IT and engineering sector and working for both public and the private sector, I can tell you that you cannot eliminate politics and decision-making. It's part of the decision-making. There used to be where IT was basically kind of rational, left-brain, sequential type of thinking because we were building systems and we were not really involved with the customer, with the users, and many other factors, environmental factors, economic factors, cultural factors, factors that we're facing today. And IT was not transformational. I think IT has changed tremendously over the last 20 years. And as a result, what we deliver is no longer that product. What we're delivering is transformation. And transformation requires relationship building and requires understanding all aspects of the company, of the customer, of the environmental factors surrounding decisions. So we have to actually understand the political process. We have to understand how decisions are made in a political organization and in a political model so we could be effective leaders. So that's essential and part of critical decision-making. And I think IT people do have to make the time for it because without understanding the political nature of your organization, of the environment your organization plays in, your competitors, your customers, how that environment is changing, the different stakeholders, we cannot really deliver the transformation because we have kind of moved off the IT paradox, which was we used to think IT was about hardware and software, to a IT is about intelligence, and it's about information, and it's about innovation. And there are different factors impacting that environment than they did when IT was born years ago out of the back office and the finance department.
So, Mark, in your view, since, you know, of course, over the years, you might have also come across organizations, is it the people who, like those few, I would not call as rotten apples because that's too derogatory of a term, but then are there a few people in the organization which influence this, or this is something which is going to get embedded in a culture and everybody would be, in a way, without even knowing, contributing to it?
Well, first of all, politics is embedded with any culture, but that culture changes and morphs over time. And the intelligence that you require as a CIO is to have your hand on that pulse to be able to notice when what the political landscape is changing, because it's never static. And the key from an IT department is to be able to educate the department as to what that political landscape is to make them the most effective in interfacing with that user community, that political landscape that exists at any one moment in time.
So if you were to look at the organizations where this is being played as the game, and of course people say that, yes, most organizations will have it. In fact, all organizations will have politics at one level or the other. Is it really in the best interest for an organization, which is a mini organization, that's IT that we are referring to even indulge in it or not kill it at the very instance when we see it happening? Because it has got too much on its plate as a mini organization, and people are looking up to it. Anything which is going to undermine the true potential has to be dealt with iron hands, would you not think?
Well, let me answer the question slightly differently. And what I attempt to lay out to my organization in interfacing with the user community and that political landscape is I try to teach them the IT circle of life, and it's just three steps. What, number one, relationships precede processes. I borrowed that from a book by Bob Lewis, 21st Century Manifesto. But relationships precede process. We must establish relationships, so that's going to require the IT department to understand the political landscape, develop relationships, because you can't begin addressing processes unless there's a level of trust there. Second, they must recognize that processes precede transactions. We don't want to get caught in the trap of pushing specific technological solutions on them unless those processes become become embedded within the culture. And then third, to close the loop, we must recognize that relationships outlive those transactions. Whatever way we implement a transaction, its success will ultimately define on our relationship for that next transaction. So what is that importance there, going back to the political landscape question that you have? That is understanding the political landscape, establishing relationships, driving those to the processes. The transactions are dictated by the processes as we understand what needs to be embedded within the culture, and recognizing that there's a cost to each transaction, which hopefully will establish solid relationships so that the next time that you start that loop, you're on a better footing. Must understand the political landscape. You must embed this kind of approach there. We have to do it. As an IT department, we have to make time.
Now, nobody comes from home saying, I'm going to really play some good politics today. So how does this happen? Is this something that we get sucked into? Is this something that we are unknowingly using and or leveraging in order to perhaps make ourselves look better or to get a project approved, et cetera, et cetera? Mark.
I was going to let Addie have a chance to speak. So could you ask that question one more time?
Sure.
Make sure I answer it the right way.
Basically, what we are saying is that when somebody comes in the morning, they don't think that I'm going to play some cool politics today. And they don't come with that agenda. But then they also have other agendas that have to be met, that they want to really look good in front of people, and or they want to get a project approved, or they want to get a promotion. I mean, there are so many different agendas that people have, and in order for them to achieve it, and not purely on merit-based perhaps, they think that there could be a shortcut by playing the game, if you will. Is that what is the trigger? Is that what the catalyst is?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there, what you spoke to, again, was a fairly wide-ranging question. There are going to be those individuals who approach each day with their own private agenda. There are going to be those others who will come and approach the day that they have an agenda that they think they're pushing for the greater whole, whether that be the department or potentially even higher up in the organization for the company. So we have to be sensitive to that, and I try to train our IT department to, first of all, make sure that they are in tight communication with the other users or within the individuals within their department, to have a sense of collaboration that we're trying to work with them, and to also be able to focus on customer service. And I mention those three things because politics, again, is a fact. No matter what we're going to do, they're going to still bring those political aspects, whether it's an individual, as you stated, coming to the day. But what I'm trying to train my staff to do is to have that ability to be able to communicate, be collaborative, and have a customer service focus with them. And that's very important because now we begin to work with them versus against them.
Swati, when you supposed to see some people, can you really see them wearing an invisible political hat all the time, or do you see them only, or do you see some of them when they are truly coming into the office and when they have something to achieve, which might be connected to their agenda, is when that hat is worn? But let's do this. Let's come back to Ati when we come back from the break. So please stay tuned.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyet and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So I think we'll start again with you, and this is with reference to the selective adoption of politics by individuals or as a group or as a department or as a company for that matter. So do you see organizations which have this game being played on a regular basis? People typically demonstrate behavior that they would be really wearing the hat and you can see them coming from a mile away all the time, or is it more mainly when they have an agenda? Because sometimes when you see people wearing it all the time, they perhaps might not be the fit in the first place.
I think, again, more very complex organizational and human behavior questions. What I would comment on is that decisions are a political process, and we have to accept that. I look at the politics, or maybe because I'm more of an optimist, as a positive influence on decision-making, because it used to be, you know, IT decisions come from the space where they were merely made on the basis of financial methods and financial thinking. But there are other criteria, and these criteria are sometimes subjective, not necessarily rational and unobjective. And they appear to be political because you can't understand it rationally, but strategically, they may have very strong merit. So I think politics are essential in decision-making. They should be part of how we do decide about projects, about how we're going to transform the business. And a part of it is understanding that we do live in a political model. I mean, most of us used to think, kind of left-brain people, think that the ideology in an organization is about efficiency and effectiveness. But the fact is, especially in global companies, where you have organizations with different ideas, with different visions, different goals, different missions, you have a struggle between the organizations and what the mission and the goal is. And to get consensus across this diverse groups and organizations, you do have to, I think as Mark said it well, understand relationships and understand what is it that they need to get so they can all come to a consensus. So one may call that a political play, but ultimately it has to be done if you are to be an effective leader and to deliver on your goals and targets. You have to bring people in to give and take positions, to build consensus, to see other points of view, because you do want to have an horizontal process deployed. And again, this is to what Mark said. Your processes cannot be vertical and siloed. And I think the CIO becomes someone between Churchill, Mother Teresa, and a kamikaze pilot. You kind of have to move from a consensus builder to a point where you actually have to finally dictate a position.
Now, Mark, if an organization and or an individual or a group uses politics to get a decision swayed in a given direction, do you think that creates a sentiment of win-lose? Because if somebody won, then somebody else is sitting as somebody who lost. Would it not create a level of hostility, animosity in the organization, which are not the right, traits of a good organization in the first place?
The answer is yes and no. Obviously, there are those who play the political game, and when they win, there are losers. I think the art of leadership ultimately means it's influence, because leadership is really influence, nothing more, nothing less, just borrowing from John Maxwell. And if you as a leader are playing the political game, your goal should ultimately be via implying, hinting, suggesting, going back to my working on a collaboration, using communication. You would love the outcome to be where there are no winners and there are no losers. Everyone is a winner. And that should be your, that should be what the goal would be if you're doing your leadership properly. But the reality is there are some that will win, will fight politically, and they will have winners and losers. Your goal has to be the exact opposite, so that when the battle is finished, both parties have been winners.
Do you think that is realistic? Can we eat the cake and have it too?
100% of the time, absolutely not. But I think that as a leader, that's what our goal should be, so that there aren't losers, and we should strive for that. That's striving for perfection. It will never happen 100% of the time. But if you have built a set of relationships across the organization, if you have set it up in such a way that the greater whole becomes what everyone's goal ultimately becomes versus any individual winner, you have a better chance than not of seeing that win-win situation take place more often. Never will happen 100% of the time, but it is something I think we have to work towards.
So then, what's the opportunity cost? This is for you, Ati. Well, based on what Mark said, as yes, it does not work always. And when it does not work, what's the opportunity cost to have some misery cost to the people who would call themselves as victims of politics?
Well, if proper decision-making doesn't take place, I think your biggest, the biggest group, the biggest stakeholder is your customer that's going to get impacted. So if you're highly political in an effective way, where you can't get decisions made and you can't come to consensus, the customer is the first one, then it's certainly the organization and it's the employees. So it takes the whole organization to get that culture right. I think we're getting into decisions of culture. You have different organizations and the way they bring about change differs. For example, from where I was, the global private sector, where decision-making was very collaborative, it would take a long time to come to a decision, versus when you work for a government agency where decision-making is more militant, where you come quicker to a decision, but then maybe you're not taking into consideration all the aspects of the decision. So ultimately, we all pay when you are either too political or non-political at all, because you're not taking into consideration some serious issues that impact the organization or impact your customer.
Now, we use this word customer multiple times, and we, of course, aim, and this is our goal, to satisfy them to the nth degree. Now, would you not think that our internal customer, which is our employee, is equally important, and if we really, you know, step on their toes and on their heads in order to satisfy the customer, but there are people who have had a miserable life throughout that process and going forward, for how long can you have that sustained growth, profitability, and customer satisfaction? Mark.
Well, I mean, that's a very, very complex question to be able to ask. I mean, I think that how long you can have that go forward, I think that that's a... That, again, gets back to building a foundation. You build a foundation, and you have as many winners, internal customers, as you can on the very beginning of that foundation. Then, in order to have any, a building can only be on a stable foundation. So if you want to have any longevity to that being a success, there has to have been that foundation of relationships, that foundation of communication, that foundation of collaboration. And then the next time that a transaction takes place, you have something to build upon. If you didn't establish it in the very beginning, it's going to be a very rocky forward, and there's not a chance of being able to establish that on a long-term basis.
So on one hand, you as an IT leader or as a business unit leader might be getting a pat on your back for getting stellar results, which has made Wall Street very happy. On the other hand, you got people coming and complaining that I don't have a life and I don't feel like working here. What's your answer to that?
If I may answer that, that's
sure.
Completely unacceptable. Quality of life is for your talent, for your employees, is critical and essential. part of what you have to meet. I mean, we see a lot of changes in the work environment with flexible hours, with work from home, telecommuting. Many of those are because we want to offer employees a quality of life. An employee that doesn't have a quality of life is not going to be a productive employee. So the goals are connected. I think happy employee, happy customer. If you have unhappy employees and happy customer, you're out of alignment, and you can only maintain that for a very short period of time before you start going down a slippery road. So, but politics doesn't necessarily mean that it would be bad for your employees. I think from when I'm talking politics, I'm talking about decision making around critical transformational issues that are positive for the organization, that are positive for the customer, that are positive socially, environmentally, and at the end, they increase revenue, develop a better margin. If those are not in sync, then politics will be viewed negatively. But I think if you're using a political process for decision-making for a higher goal, then I think politics are viewed positively.
So, Mark, do you think we can really have an acceptance level or a threshold of to which a politics is allowed in the organization and accepted by the executive management, including IT leadership, and not have that abused?
Yes, absolutely. But again, that will take the leadership from the top from recognizing that the employees, somewhat going back to what Adi says, going back to recognizing the employees are not commodities, that ultimately your most valuable resource within a company is your employees. So that, yes, from the top, you can be having specific goals as a company. You can having specific objectives that the department is supposed to follow. But it cannot be done absent a recognition that the employees are critical to that delivery, because you can sometimes get that first successful transaction and burn them out. The next one's going to be very difficult. So, yes, it is possible.
Let's stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages. And if we have a situation where truly the IT department, since we are referring to the IT organization here, is functioning well and everything is going well, we are creating value for the business, and we are aware that there might be some people and or the or politics that is being played currently in the organization is there, it's existing and perhaps causing some harm. Would we really want to rock the boat, or we would try to remove the problem? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Wielding power, shaping environments and outcomes, and making things happen are all essential characteristics of great leaders. Yet these qualities alone are not enough to ensure your success. In a complex world, how do you decide what's most important to you? In your career, your relationships, your finances, your family, in the world around you, in the whole of your life at large? Dr. Joseph Riggio, the host of Leadership Intuition, says that personal leadership, the desire to take charge of your life, is the key to creating futures that work and building a life worth living. Join Joseph as he reveals the power of uncovering and living your own personal mythology, the key to personal transformation, exquisite performance, and social influence. Learn to look inside and discover your personal mythology and unique leadership style. Go beyond conventional advice and discover your unique success blueprint on Leadership Intuitions with Dr. Joseph Riggio each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America channel. Leadership Intuitions, power, achievement, relationships.
presumed leadership.
It's the big picture issues of the day, up close and personal capabilities of leadership, and a desirable future of constant renewal.
Presumed leadership.
It's the economic crisis made clear, patterns and perspectives of leadership, and the importance of changing the way we pursue our future. Join host John Schmidt every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time.
Presumed leadership.
An inside look at what's really going on in business, government, and civil society. Tune in every week on the Voice America Business Channel.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So you being an IT leader, we'll start with you, Addie, and you see that things are going very well. And you then look at some people and or the political environment being the undercurrent, and it's also causing misery to people. Would you turn away and say things are going fine right now? Let's wait and watch.
Absolutely not. My first commitment is to my staff. My second commitment, which is as equally critical, is to our customers. Internal and external. So we have to make sure that we provide the safe environment where our staff can be productive and they can grow. And if the environment is poisonous, it's not a good environment for them to work in, and therefore it impacts the organization in totality. So no, if it's a negative politics, if it's politics that doesn't deliver anything but regress, then it's something that we as the C-suite, C-level executives of the organizations are committed and must change. But at the same time, I believe the IT professionals have not really adopted politics and power. We still believe power is bad, and we only play, if you look at the power quadrant, we only play in a very small segment of the power quadrant, which I call expert power or information power. Instead of playing in the quadrant in totality, which is the legitimate power, the reward power, when we only play in a segment of the power that's been given us to deliver the transformation, we become ineffective to some extent. And the issues that we consider political, that could be disagreements, it could be not understanding the other side's point of view, perspective, why they're coming to the decision they do, and not necessarily using the power quadrant properly, we end up not delivering on our goal. So I think that we certainly have to stand up for poisonous and against poisonous environments, but at the same time, we have to make sure that we ourselves understand, not only at my level, but at my senior executive level, that this is that we need to use the power that we've been given to deliver the outcome that we're expected.
Mark, if suppose somebody comes to you and says, I am a victim of politics, how objectively What's your process of evaluating if it is truly the case? And is that the only feedback mechanism that you have, that political levels, if you will, in the organization, the mid-level and operational level are rising beyond thresholds, so let me take action?
No, that is not the only way, and I would take any comment coming from my staff typically with a grain of salt, because I want to make sure that it has a variety of different validation points. And one of the reasons that I would never rely on just that one comment, it's incumbent upon me to practice that management by walking around. I need to have informal relationships with all of my staff so that I can get an understanding of who is and who is not performing, who is the ones that are complainers and who are not the ones that are complainers. So by that management, by walking around and getting an understanding, I would hope that that's a second data point to that communication that the employee brings to me. And then third, I should be having an active basis of mentoring my staff, which is I'm going to be, by mentoring some of my leaders, I'm also learning from them who their key employees are. So that would be, at a bare minimum, a third data point that I should have, so that when they come to me, it's not the only basis upon which I'm getting information.
So, Eddie, in your case, would you deal with people any differently when they are coming to you repeatedly and saying, I'm being a victim, would you just brand them as whiners, or would you take that as a strong sign that somebody truly is becoming bullied, or is being bullied and or being played the game on?
If I think we have the responsibility to listen to anyone who is raising an issue. And there is a process. Most organizations have a process, and we do. And any organizations I've been with, we've had a process where if someone believes they've been victimized for whatever reason, that reason needs to be investigated. And it's my responsibility to investigate it and understand what the reason is. So I would certainly look into it. But I would also talk to the employee about the real environments that they're confronted with in the workplace, and to see whether the issue is something that only they feel. Is it an isolated case? Is it maybe their perspective of the case, or it's real? But I think every case is worth listening to and investigating. Again, politics has many faces, and under the underlying issue of politics, negative politics, could be prejudice, could be racism, it could be differences in political views. All of those things where we need to look into, and they really have no place in the workplace.
Mark, in current days, the economic climate and other things that are happening worldwide, while you're able to insulate our people from internal politics, how do you insulate them from what they see outside, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt which it is creating, which creates the job security mindset at any cost?
Very excellent question. Number one, to attempt to address that fear. I try to make sure there's a open line of communication that is formal and informal. Second, I already alluded to it earlier, I stay close to my people by that management, by walking around, by dropping informally into queues, sitting down and eating with them at lunch. You can gain very quickly identify those who are fearful and why they're fearful. In certain cases, you can then be able to dismiss that fear by giving information that's valid. Third, I try to be accessible. I want to make sure that they have the ability to come in and talk to me one-on-one when they don't have to have others around them. And then the last thing that I've attempted to do to try and dismiss the fear is to make sure that they recognize that I will always do whatever is possible to make sacrifices either personally or by a department for their benefit, so that they sense that there is a more familial approach to what we're doing. None of those will eliminate fear. all of them will incrementally begin to address the fear. And at the end of the day, if downsizing is coming, and I've done this now four times in the last two companies I've had, I try to broadcast that far enough out in advance to say the fear may be real, it may be coming, but by giving that additional communication, I also hope to be able to prepare them for whatever the worst-case scenario is, and if it's better than that, that's all. But those would be the four things that I do to try and quash fear. I can't eliminate it.
Ati, in any business, do you think, or any organization, do you think if you were to really take averages, do you see it happens, or politics usually happens more in business versus in IT? And if that's the case, do you think even within the organization we could have negative influence over IT because that's the department you're handling?
I would say, actually, IT is more protected from political decisions and politics, at least the negative politics, because IT doesn't necessarily compete with any other department. And it has a task of its own, although we do compete for funding. In an environment today where you mentioned, and Mark mentioned, you have a lot of fear because of the economy, unemployment, employees are working longer hours, there is a lack of sense of stability. We do have a lot of anxiety in the workplace. We have a lot of organizations that are afraid by culture. And as a result, you have many issues, and many issues that are not necessarily positive. So, yes, I think IT is isolated to some extent, but I do think that for IT to be effective in transforming the business, it needs to understand the environment around it. It needs to understand decision-making most critically, and the politics and the culture of the organization, the culture of decision-making, because we have a critical task of using information to move the organization forward, especially now with major cost-cutting. The focus has been a lot on more tactical areas than strategic areas. And to move the organization forward strategically, you have to know who to go to get funding to move it forward. And that's critical and important in terms of getting the organization ready so when the economy picks up, you're ready to pick up. So I think it's important to understand it, but to some extent, yes, we are sheltered from it to a large extent.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And what we need to explore is that since there would be a pack of people within the IT organization, and that may also keep changing as the organization changes and if their needs are changing. So while we can handle that existing pack, but there's always going to be more people getting hired, and if you're going to do reduction in force, people will need to get laid off and or you'll have to get rid of them. But in that both cases, what is the type of diagnostics that you have, whether this person is having that political metal, not more positive or negative, and based how much of that would be used to make a decision whether you're hiring a person or getting rid of them? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
The Interstate Sportsman Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Friday mornings at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 Eastern, for the Interstate Sportsman on the Voice America channel.
Being here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss being here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So we were referring to a steady pack of IT employees that we have in the organization. And since you'll always have changes, or the needs would be there for you to let go of people in or hire more. While we look at the skills, competency, and engagement of these workers in order to hire and or letting them go, what is the value of looking at their political acumen and or propensity to take on political games, if you will, and negatively and positively? So, Mark, what do you think?
Well, I'll answer a part of that question very quickly. And any time that you are trying to let staff go, given all of the HR guidelines that you have, you better have that documented based on objective and it's based upon metrics. So that becomes a very clear thing that you must adhere to. But going to expand on that, if you're letting staff go, it really should be based upon performance. The skill set is no longer needed. They are not being effective. But you have to have a sensitivity here also to going back to that law of influence. There can be people in your organization who are a big positive political influence who may, due to their skill set, all of a sudden not being required. I would take that into account, because sometimes those individuals are worth retraining because of their positive influence on the department or positive influence on the team, and they are an ally that you as the CIO have, and you want to hold on to them, and so you may take extra steps to retrain individuals like that because of their positive influence. And then on the exact opposite frame, you wouldn't save someone who's a negative influence if their skill set is no longer needed. So that political aspect, I would definitely think, should come into play when you're making some of those decisions.
Ati, do you think what just Mark said would be measurable about political acumen and or how well they can play the game? And can that be part of an HR metrics?
I think it's both a subjective and an objective process. Whether it's measurable, some of it is measurable, but, you know, again, as I said, decision-making is not really truly a rational process. I've gone through some of these as well, both in the public and the private sector, and it's very different in the public sector. You have titles that are civil service. You have some options that are available to you, like early retirement. Not always. You have categories of IT, which is becoming a commodity, and you can get it, you can offshore it, or you could automate processes. So part of the decision is made based on what can I do cheaper, faster, better outside than I can do inside. Those roles are completely objective. Then the next decision is made, what percentage of my staff, who is more effective in what they do? And part of that criteria is a technical criteria. Part of it is which group can deliver projects better, how do they build relationships with their colleagues, can they deliver, is IQ as critical as EQ? So those are decisions that management would have to make as you go forward, and you need, and you can only keep a certain percentage of our employees. It is a difficult time. However, having said that, we do see a shortage of IT professionals. A lot of people are not studying IT because they believe there is a major cut in IT jobs because of offshoring, and it is difficult to get the skill set. So we are in a hiring mode, and we cannot find the expertise and the skill set that we need. So so that's something that we need to actually focus on. We're not necessarily letting go staff right now. That's not the phase we're in.
Mark, very quick last question. As an IT leader, you're supposed to set examples for others. What kind of example would you set so that they see you as someone who they would like to emulate you, so you play the right type of politics, and also get your job done at the same time?
The first thing I would love for my staff to see is I recognize that there are four different relationship directions I have to do, I have to address. First of all, I have to manage up. I manage my boss. We'll call that north. To my east, I'll call my organizational peers. To my west are my consumers, my customers, and to the south are my own staff. What I would hope that they would see is that I am active in building relationships and setting an exemplary example of how I'm managing in all four different directions, and that I'm recognizing that there are political relationships and each one has unique aspects. And what I would hope to do is that they, as they see that mentoring, that leadership model is one where they can say there's something to be learned, there's something to be followed, and that's what I would hope they would be able to see an example, that I'm not so singular in only addressing one aspect, but I recognize that there are relationships in four different directions and that I need to be working those political relationships each equally. Each one is just as important as any of the others, and that there is specific examples that they can see in each of those four arenas.
Very quickly, Ati, 15 seconds. Any last comments?
I think it's important to always have your finger on the pulse. In our positions as CIOs, on the pulse of the politics, the customer, your competitor, your product, and the changes in all of those environments, that's the only way we could lead and we can transform the organization.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, thank you so much, Ati and Mark, for sharing your thoughts on this politics, how it could very well be useful in an organization, but beyond a certain point, it could be counterproductive, and how you can keep your finger on the pulse and keep it under manageable levels.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to do this. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much again, guys, again. And listeners, if you have questions, please send us to questions@ciotalkradio.com. That is questions@ciotalkradio.com. And again, we have the community. Please join and interact and post your questions. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Gall, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio.
To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sunjal Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.